There is one final hurdle to deal with before we get to actually sending an email purposefully designed to earn money. This hurdle has nothing to do with emailing itself, or even your business, but rather deals with the innate resistance that each of us human beings faces when confronted with any change. Who you think you are right now results from many years of different experiences and different relationships. Good experiences and really bad ones. Good relationships and, well, really bad ones. Those relationships are not just with people, but also with our businesses and our successes and our failures, especially our failures. We're also the result of our education, whether it's formal or informal, and we tend to pay a lot of attention to what we know is right. But many of the facts we carry in our heads are not facts at all. When I went back to my old boarding school in Port Elizabeth a few years ago, I discovered that the immense hall we kids used for meals and assemblies had been turned into a creche. I remembered it as a huge space, and it probably still is to a 10-year-old, but it really is very tiny. On a slightly different note, Mrs. Carruthers' son Chris is at Oslo University, majoring in English. A few months ago, I just completed a course detailing a new way of writing emails, very informal. The presenter shared a 3,000-word email in this new style. I asked Chris to look at it to inspire him about grammatical perfection not being quite as important as the university might make out. And he gave it back to me an hour later with red notes all over it, detailing the many writing faults and why he could never accept writing like this. And he's right from an academic perspective. But the writer of the email wasn't trying to pass an exam. He was trying to earn money. And that same email earned him more than $1 million in a single sending to his community. So for now, ignore everything that anybody, other than me of course, tells you about writing emails. The detail, the chase for perfection, these will stop you from even starting. Ignore for now what time to deliver them, and what the best day of the week is, and how to structure a great subject line, and what words convert best, or anything else. Don't worry about who is the best email service provider to use. Just ignore the detail. Otherwise, you'll never start. There are too many unknowns for you right now, and not a single one of them is remotely close in importance to the problem of writing just one email, no matter how sucky it is. When we start with marketing and selling, we're pretty clueless. There should be no shame in that, and yet there is. We're simply starting a new journey, just as Usain Bolt did the first time he ran a race, with no clue about whether he'd be good or not. We don't trust anyone else to do this work for us. Hell, how tough can it be to write just one email? We know we can do this ourselves, and we probably can. But most of us never get to it. Our writing never seems quite as right as we want it to be, so it never passes our internal censor. Mine is the English teacher I had in high school. And so that simple email takes on a new life as Satan. We will not release anything that is not perfect. I know a lot of struggling business owners with that mantra. I know a bunch more, way richer than me, who prefer to just get the work out as best they can in the time they have available. Simply write one email to one person focused on some facet of this problem she has that you can solve. That's it. It really is as easy as that. Liz Gilbert, author of Eat, Pray, Love, one of the New York Times best-selling books a few years ago, wrote a wonderful book about her career and how difficult it is to write a book, and frankly, anything. Speak to anybody who wants to write for a living, and they'll tell you that the toughest thing they face whenever they sit down is to actually get the words out of their heads and onto paper or into their machine. Their focus is always to write perfection, for the words that land on the page to be a much cleaner version of the scrabble in their heads. And even worse, the scrabble that they normally write the first time out. And Liz says something which I've found to be genius. Done is better than good. Notice, no mention of best. And my experience has been that any words on the page are better than no words on the page. I've long used the daily writing program to help me get words onto the page. And one of the recommendations there is that if you're stuck, as often as I am, just to repeat a word until a new word occurs to you. It sounds like cheating, but it isn't. It's just opening the tap. I think one of the reasons most people never get around to using email marketing is because we each want to be best at everything that we do. But how do you define best when sending an email? If somebody's in trouble, any email, no matter how badly written, that gets closer to solving the problem will be welcome. If you fall off a ship in mid-ocean, a life buoy would be welcome. A life jacket may be better. But hell, a simple plank could save your life. And at a time like that, nobody has time to build the world's best life buoy. Which gets me to the point I want to make about email marketing in particular and business in general. Best is a very personal perspective. Your best might be my worst, and vice versa. The chase for best doesn't have a great deal to do with your business success. But the chase to just get things done is going to transform your future. Ultimately, a fast decision, even for a process or system you know is not the best, is much better than years spent investigating every system before starting. Money earned this month, even if not very efficiently, is infinitely better than money earned 3 months down the track, no matter how efficiently. And that's because every business survives from month to month, at least at first, until it's built a war chest, a reserve. And that reserve buys us the time we need to find the best solution, if that becomes important later. But even then, best is hard to pin down. When we first start to investigate something new, something outside our comfort area, something like marketing, for instance, we don't know enough about it. We don't know the variables. We don't understand the dynamics. And this means that we actually have no idea what we need or want. Small business is urgent enough that we don't have 12 months to investigate and make a decision. At this point, almost any option is better than no option. The mere fact that you're working through a marketing process, for instance, learning from the accumulated knowledge and practice built into the software that you choose, means that you're progressing faster than you can imagine. My experience has been that almost any product is better than no product. And after 6 months of working with any one product, you're infinitely more knowledgeable about this new field and able to make an educated choice about a better solution, if you can find one. Choosing the wrong software doesn't carry with it the kind of commitment one might need when looking for appropriate office space, where you're locked into a 5-year contract and sureties and deposits. Hell, you can change software on a whim. I faced this very thing a few months ago, paying for 3 concurrent email marketing services, trying to choose which of these 3 I should drop. I didn't drop any. The time involved in making the decision was too expensive, much more expensive than the money actually spent on the use of each. I still have all 3, each doing a slightly different job. And when I have enough time to streamline it, I'll do so. In the meantime, each is making me money in its own way. And this is important because it's not just the choice of product that you face. It's the choice of words that you're going to use when you write these emails, or the choice to use a freelancer to write those words for you. Here's the thing. Nobody cares enough for you to need to worry about any of these. Over more than 20 years of writing, almost every day, I found that no matter how much I struggle over a particular piece of writing, it gets as much criticism and accolade as a piece of writing done on the spur of the moment, maybe in a fit of anger. You're looking for a routine that generates between 400 and 600 words each month, at least at first, no matter what those words are or how they arrive. As long as you're telling a story of some sort, relevant to your reader's problems, they'll open your emails and read them, almost irrespective of how badly you write. And if you really are uncomfortable about your writing, if you know that you don't know how to write well, then give it to somebody else. They might not do the job you would do if you were Hemingway, but so what? As Liz Gilbert says, at least this is my interpretation, a bad email that gets done, that gets sent, is a whole lot better than a great email that never leaves your desk because it's not Shakespeare. The tyranny of chasing best is simply this. Nothing gets done because it's never good enough. That's really bad for your income.